In the shadowy world of New York's organized crime families, The Maddest Obsession has captivated readers with its exploration of dangerous love and psychological complexity. This second installment in Daniel Lorre's Maid series has developed a cult following among dark romance enthusiasts, with book talk creators propelling it to viral status for its unflinching portrayal of obsession, trauma, and unexpected tenderness. Celebrities like Megan Fox have publicly praised its raw emotional intensity, while psychologists have noted its nuanced portrayal of personality disorders. The novel's exploration of how damaged people find healing in unlikely places resonates deeply with readers seeking stories where love doesn't require perfection, just perfect understanding between two beautifully broken souls. Gianna Russo is a woman trapped in a gilded cage. At 21, she's already married to Antonio, a powerful figure in the Cosa Nostra. When she discovers her husband cheating with her best friend Sydney, her world shatters. In her devastation, she makes the catastrophic mistake of sleeping with her stepson Nico, adding another layer of shame to her already fractured sense of self. Into this chaos steps FBI agent Christian Hollister, cold, controlled, and immediately fascinated by the fiery Gianna. Their first encounters crackle with hostility and undeniable attraction. At a cancer benefit, Christian witnesses Antonio's cruelty toward Gianna and, surprisingly, helps her through a panic attack by pointing out the Andromeda constellation, a beautiful goddess who survived being sacrificed. When he reveals the name means ruler of men, something awakens in Gianna's spirit. Their antagonistic chemistry intensifies at every meeting. Christian warns her not to be alone with him, because if I did touch you, I wouldn't stop. Not until I'd snuffed out that pretty fire in your eyes. The threat carries an undercurrent of desire that neither can deny. When tragedy strikes and both Sydney and Antonio are killed in a shooting, Christian finds Gianna in shock and helps her, only to disappear from her life afterward, leaving her a widow at 23. What makes their relationship so compelling is the perfect balance of power between them. Despite Christian's controlling nature, Gianna never loses her sharp tongue or fierce independence. She challenges him at every turn, refusing to be intimidated, even when he displays the dangerous capabilities that make others fear him. Their verbal sparring becomes an elaborate courtship ritual, each exchange revealing more about their wounded hearts than either would willingly admit. Christian Hollister is a study in controlled chaos. During mandatory psychological evaluations, he reluctantly admits to having an addictive personality. When disorder enters his meticulously organized life that he can't fix, he obsesses. His OCD manifests in his aversion to germs, his fixation on the number 3, particularly his habit of sleeping with women exactly 3 times before moving on, and his need for absolute control in all situations. Behind his cold exterior lies a traumatic past. We learn he spent 5 years in a Russian prison starting at age 14. His body bears the evidence: prison tattoos, including a Madonna and child, a dagger, a cross, a rose, a church, and a manacle on his wrist. When Gianna shows sympathy, he harshly rejects her pity, insisting he held his own in prison, being bigger and colder than most men even at that young age. Christian's obsession with Gianna defies his own rules. He admits to his therapist that she makes his life difficult, yet he can't stay away. When Gianna mentions his mother during an argument, he loses control, a rare occurrence, pinning her against the wall and accidentally revealing his Russian accent, exposing a part of his past he'd kept hidden. Later, we learn the devastating truth. His mother was a heroin addict who prostituted herself and eventually her sons to the Russian mafia. At age 7, Christian killed a man sent for his little brother. When he was 13, his intoxicated mother mistook him for a client and tried to have sex with him. That night, he and his brother Ronan watched her choke on her own vomit without helping her. This psychological depth transforms what could be a simple romance into a profound exploration of how trauma shapes identity. Christian's obsessive tendencies aren't romanticized, but presented as coping mechanisms developed in response to unimaginable childhood experiences. His journey isn't about being fixed by love, but about finding someone who accepts his darkness while helping him channel it in less destructive ways. Gianna's journey from defiance to vulnerability forms the emotional core of the story, revealing layers of complexity in her character development. Initially, she wields sharp wit like a weapon, using caustic humor and intellectual superiority to keep others at arm's length. Her substance abuse and string of casual relationships serve as sophisticated armor, carefully constructed barriers against emotional intimacy and past trauma. Her marriage to Antonio, arranged when she was barely 20, exemplifies how the Cosa Nostra's patriarchal structure treated women's bodies as commodities to be traded for power and influence. When she discovers Antonio's long-term affair with her childhood friend Sophia, Gianna's carefully maintained facade crumbles. She spirals into self-destruction, combining prescription medications with expensive wines, hosting lavish parties that mask her increasing isolation. These episodes reveal not just personal pain, but the broader tragedy of women in her world. Educated, capable, yet trapped by tradition and family expectations. Her nyctophobia becomes a powerful metaphor for her deeper fears. This intense fear of darkness, stemming from childhood trauma, manifests in elaborate systems of nightlights and sleeping pills. During an unexpected power outage, she experiences a severe panic attack, hyperventilating, trembling, unable to distinguish reality from memory. Seeking refuge at Christian's apartment, she reveals her darkest secret, sexual abuse by her uncle Giuseppe, a trusted family friend, when she was 12. More devastating is her revelation that her father, despite likely knowing, chose silence, perhaps because ongoing whispers about her paternity had already marked her as damaged goods in his eyes. This vulnerable moment transforms her relationship with Christian. Rather than offering empty consolation, he shares a Russian proverb about facing one's demons. To defeat the darkness, you must first admit it exists. His unexpected tenderness, teaching her breathing exercises, sharing his own childhood fears, creates a new kind of intimacy. When Gianna initiates a passionate kiss, Christian's gentle refusal demonstrates rare emotional intelligence. He recognizes her vulnerability isn't an invitation for physical comfort, but a cry for genuine connection. Gianna's compelling resilience manifests in small victories and major confrontations. She begins therapy, though the stigma in her community makes this act itself rebellious. She confronts her father, demanding accountability not just for past silence, but for years of emotional neglect. Her healing isn't linear. She relapses into destructive relationships, struggles with addiction, and sometimes retreats behind her old defenses. Yet each setback strengthens her resolve to reclaim agency over her life. Through Gianna's journey, the story explores how true strength often lies in acknowledging vulnerability rather than denying it. Her transformation challenges cultural expectations about women's roles, mental health stigma, and the cycle of generational trauma. Despite, or perhaps because of, her wounds, she emerges as a character whose complexity and courage inspires others to confront their own demons. Power dynamics form the intricate foundation of Christian and Gianna's relationship, manifesting in every interaction and exchange. Their initial encounters establish a complex pattern. Christian attempts to dominate through calculated intimidation and wielding of authority, using his position, wealth, and physical presence to create an atmosphere of control. Meanwhile, Gianna consistently subverts his attempts at dominance through calculated defiance and strategic unpredictability. When he warns her not to be alone with him, she deliberately seeks him out in his office after hours. When he demands she change her revealing dress at a corporate event, she returns in something equally provocative, demonstrating her refusal to be controlled. Their sexual relationship evolves into another sophisticated battlefield for control, laden with tension and power shifts. After their first intimate encounter in his car, a moment of raw passion in the parking garage, Christian maintains his dominance by refusing to fully undress while demanding Gianna's complete submission. He keeps his suit on, tie merely loosened, while insisting she bear everything. Despite moments of internal resistance, when she feels humiliated by this deliberate imbalance, their magnetic chemistry proves overwhelmingly irresistible. Later, when Gianna takes control by pleasuring him during a critical business call, she discovers an intoxicating sense of power in his struggled attempts to maintain composure. The novel deeply explores how control can be both toxic and healing, depending on context, consent, and the underlying motivations of both parties. Christian's compulsive need for control stems from childhood powerlessness, growing up in foster care where he had no agency over his life. Meanwhile, Gianna's reflexive defiance comes from years of being controlled by the men in her life, particularly her father and ex-fiancé. When Christian demands exclusivity, forcefully declaring, "This isn't over," despite her attempts to end things, the novel masterfully navigates the fine line between possessive behavior and protective instincts. What ultimately prevents their relationship from descending into unhealthy territory is the foundation of mutual respect that exists beneath their surface power struggles. Christian may be domineering in his approach, but he demonstrates genuine attention when Gianna establishes firm boundaries. When she stipulates clear terms for their arrangement, that she won't be at his beck and call, he must respect her personal space, kiss her whenever she desires, and always use protection, he agrees to most conditions after careful consideration. This detailed negotiation of boundaries and limits transforms what could easily become a problematic dynamic into one where both partners retain their essential agency despite the apparent power imbalance. Their relationship becomes a dance of give and take, where power shifts fluidly between them rather than remaining static. Through their evolution, both characters learn to navigate the complex intersection of desire, control, and vulnerability. Christian discovers that true power lies in occasionally relinquishing control, while Gianna learns that submission doesn't necessarily mean losing herself. Their dynamic challenges conventional power structures, suggesting that real strength often lies in the ability to be vulnerable with another person. The novel's most profound theme explores how two deeply wounded souls can become instruments of each other's healing. Kristen and Gianna's relationship begins as a seemingly straightforward exchange of mutual exploitation. She uses him for physical pleasure, while he feeds his obsessive need for control. Yet beneath this superficial arrangement, something far more meaningful takes root. Their intimate moments reveal layers of vulnerability neither character anticipated. After their sexual encounters, Kristen's ritual of kissing Gianna sweetly and sharing shower time, where he meticulously washes her hair with an almost reverent tenderness, becomes a metaphor for their deepening connection. These quiet moments carry more emotional weight than their passionate encounters, suggesting that true intimacy often flourishes in life's gentler intervals. When Kristen reveals that she's the only woman he's ever kissed on the mouth, this confession transforms their dynamic, marking a crucial turning point in their relationship. The healing process unfolds through subtle daily interactions. Kristen's structured world, with its precise schedules, immaculate spaces, and predictable patterns, provides Gianna with the stability she never experienced in her tumultuous upbringing. His apartment becomes a sanctuary where chaos can't touch her. Conversely, Gianna's natural spontaneity and embrace of imperfection gradually loosen Christian's rigid grip on control. When she introduces disorder into his perfectly arranged life, leaving coffee cups on counters or shoes by the door, she unknowingly helps him confront his need for absolute order. Their relationship deepens through shared moments of vulnerability. When Gianna cooks traditional Italian dishes from her childhood, Kristen's genuine appreciation extends beyond mere politeness. His recognition of her culinary talents affirms her worth beyond the physical attributes that others have always prioritized. These moments in the kitchen become a form of therapy, allowing Gianna to reclaim parts of herself she'd forgotten. The novel takes a nuanced approach to trauma and recovery, avoiding the trope of love as a magical cure-all. Both characters continue to grapple with their psychological wounds throughout the narrative. Kristen's possessive tendencies and need for control remain constant challenges, while Gianna struggles with deep-seated insecurities and trust issues born from years of exploitation. However, together, they create a safe haven where their broken pieces aren't viewed as flaws to be fixed, but as integral parts of who they are. The story reaches its emotional crescendo when Kristen finally shares the horrific details of his childhood trauma. Gianna's response, "I don't care about your past," isn't dismissive, but rather a profound statement of acceptance. This moment encapsulates what both characters have desperately sought their entire lives: someone who sees them completely, scars and all, and chooses to stay. Their healing comes not from fixing each other, but from creating a space where they can be authentically themselves, damaged parts included. Family, both blood and chosen, plays a central role in shaping both protagonists' identities and emotional landscapes. Gianna's relationship with her father, Saul Russo, exemplifies the devastating impact of parental betrayal. Beyond merely failing to protect her from childhood abuse, evidence suggests he was aware of her suffering, yet remained willfully blind. His cruel nickname, Whore, stems from long-harbored doubts about her paternity, revealing how his own insecurities poisoned their relationship. When Gianna asserts her independence by refusing his demand to return to Chicago for another arranged marriage, their confrontation escalates into a violent scene that forces Christian to intervene. His stark warning that Gianna doesn't exist for you anymore marks a decisive break from toxic family bonds. Christian's family history carries equally profound wounds. His mother's substance addiction and pattern of abusive relationships fundamentally shaped his understanding of women, love, and trust. These early experiences manifest in his initial inability to form deep emotional connections and his instinctive distrust of intimate relationships. His brother Ronan serves as his sole positive family connection, a lifeline of stability in an otherwise chaotic upbringing. When Christian cautiously reveals he has a brother but never knew his father, Gianna recognizes the weight of unspoken pain behind his words. This shared experience of family trauma creates a powerful undercurrent of understanding between them, allowing them to recognize and validate each other's wounds without words. The novel deeply explores the concept of chosen family through Gianna's intricate web of relationships. Her friendship with Valentina provides the sisterly bond she never had, while her connection to the Cosa Nostra community offers a complex substitute for traditional family structures. Despite the organization's morally ambiguous nature, it functions as a protective network that provides both emotional and practical support. This is particularly evident after her second husband's death, when Ace arranges a new apartment for her, demonstrating how these alternative family systems operate through unwritten codes of loyalty and obligation. What makes the family theme particularly resonant is how both characters work to transcend their traumatic histories. Their journey from isolation to connection shows how chosen families can heal wounds inflicted by blood relations. Christian's possessive tendencies gradually evolve into genuine protectiveness as Gianna's pregnancy forces him to confront his own capacity for nurturing. Their unborn child becomes a symbol of hope, a chance to break the cycle of generational trauma and create the kind of loving, supportive family environment that eluded them in their own childhoods. This transformation suggests that while we cannot choose our origins, we can choose how to write our family's next chapter. Symbolism weaves intricate patterns throughout the narrative, with celestial imagery playing a particularly significant role, anchored by the Andromeda constellation. During a pivotal moment when Christian helps Gianna through an intense panic attack, he directs her attention skyward to this constellation, sharing its rich mythology, the story of a beautiful princess chained to rocks as a sacrifice, who survives and ultimately finds freedom. The constellation's name, meaning ruler of men, serves as a powerful metaphor for Gianna's evolution from a trauma survivor to a woman who discovers her own strength and agency, eventually wielding profound influence over the seemingly impenetrable Christian. The constellation motif deepens when we discover Christian's intimate connection to this celestial pattern, a tattoo of Andromeda etched into his skin, likely inspired by Gianna. This permanent marking symbolizes how deeply she's affected him, marking both his body and soul with her influence. His Russian term of endearment for her, Moya Zvezdichka, my little star, further reinforces this celestial connection, suggesting how she illuminates the darker aspects of his character and brings warmth to his cold exterior. Water imagery flows throughout their relationship, serving as a powerful symbol of emotional transformation and spiritual cleansing. Their first intimate encounter is catalyzed by Gianna's deliberate dive into a pool, a moment where she consciously uses her power to crack Christian's carefully maintained facade. His intense gaze following her form through the water marks the first visible crack in his emotional armor. Their later reconciliation by another pool carries deeper symbolic weight, with the water representing emotional catharsis and purification of past trauma. Christian's description of finally claiming his obsession as, like, coming home to God evokes baptismal imagery, suggesting a spiritual rebirth through their connection. The symbolism reaches beyond natural elements to manufactured objects, most notably Christian's quarter, a 1955 U.S. coin he stole 29 years before the main events. This small piece of metal becomes a powerful symbol of destiny's strange workings, representing how seemingly minor choices can alter the entire trajectory of a life. The coin led him to America, to his wife, and eventually to his daughter, creating a life he never imagined possible. When his therapist points out his newfound belief in fate, Christian's response is telling. "I stole someone else's fate, Sasha, and I'm not going to give it back." This declaration symbolizes his transformation from a man who viewed life as mere survival to someone who recognizes the profound value of what he's built and will defend it fiercely. The quarter serves as a physical reminder that sometimes our most significant transformations begin with small, seemingly insignificant choices. The novel's ultimate message is that redemption comes through acceptance, both of oneself and others. Christian initially believes his dark past and psychological complexities make him unworthy of Gianna, convinced she belongs with someone unburdened like Vincent Monroe. His self-imposed isolation and rigid control mechanisms serve as protective barriers against potential rejection. Similarly, Gianna believes she's too damaged for genuine love, her history of abandonment and loss leading her to expect Christian to discard her after their arrangement ends, just as others have done before. Their journey toward mutual acceptance unfolds gradually through small but significant moments. When Christian insists on accompanying Gianna to Sunday church service, publicly claiming her with a passionate kiss before her entire congregation, he signals his willingness to integrate her fully into his life, despite his deep-seated reservations about commitment and vulnerability. This gesture marks a turning point, choosing visibility over hiding, connection over isolation. When Gianna learns about his psychological diagnosis, low-end OCD spectrum and antisocial personality disorder, she demonstrates remarkable emotional maturity by not retreating. Instead, she recognizes these traits as integral parts of the complex man she loves, understanding that his meticulous nature and need for control stem from past trauma rather than malice. The final revelation of Gianna's pregnancy becomes the ultimate test of their commitment to acceptance. Having conceived during their first encounter at the masquerade ball, she initially fears Christian's reaction, expecting him to view an unplanned child as a threat to his carefully ordered world. Instead, he responds with deep satisfaction and relief, seeing their child as the ultimate manifestation of their bond, a physical representation of their love that transcends his need for absolute control. Their exchange of "I love yous" in this moment marks their complete acceptance of each other, acknowledging that their perceived flaws are simply parts of their whole selves. In the emotionally charged epilogue, set 1 year later, Christian visits his therapist for a follow-up session. Now married to Gianna for precisely 385 days, with a 148-day-old daughter named Catherine, he reflects on how a stolen quarter, a simple act of fate, changed the entire trajectory of his life. When his therapist poses a hypothetical question about someone coming to reclaim that fate, Christian's response reveals his profound transformation. His confident smile and declaration, "Let them come," demonstrates his evolution from someone who expected to lose everything to a man willing to fight fiercely for the love and family he's found. This moment perfectly encapsulates his journey from viewing vulnerability as weakness to recognizing it as the foundation of true strength. Through this carefully crafted journey from obsession to love, from rigid control to emotional vulnerability, both characters discover what they truly needed all along. Not the illusion of perfection, but the perfect acceptance of their beautifully imperfect selves. Their story demonstrates that real love doesn't require the absence of flaws, but rather the courage to embrace them.